Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, readying information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Vandals target a Mormon church in West Lynn. The White House calls the Florida church's plan to burn the Koran a monumentally terrible idea. And Portland is named the best happy hour city in America.
In your face, everyone who's not us. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor. And this is absolutely everything you need to know for whatever day this is. Thursday.
What's going on over there?
September 9th.
Is this dulcet tone sex kitten, Don?
No, I'm doing my NPR voice. I'm being an NPR
person. Oh, I didn't know. No, you really got to just... You really just got to make it sort of a lot warmer. And by putting everything in the palate of your mouth, Stephen Gould coming up later on this afternoon, as well as some information about a new movement aimed at a grassroots something or other. And it doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it's grassroots.
So I was hoping, I'm trying to aim for kind of like a quieter, more warm, sort of a Terry Gross sort of thing.
Don't do that. No.
Vandals targeted a new Mormon church. You know,
I find her voice to be off-putting, because it sounds like she's trying to drizzle warm honey into your ear, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like she's trying to grope me through the radio, and not in any sort of a sexy way, in sort of a woman who smells vaguely of Ben Gay on the bus kind of way.
See, I hear my own natural voice, and to my own ear, I sound a little tinny and kind of nasally. So I've been working on my radio voices. Right?
Thank you for ruining my joke, by the way, because I was just going to say, is that because it's so nasal? Because I don't believe that, I don't feel that that's the case. But see, now I can't even say that it's a joke, because it'll just underscore your own neuroses.
And then I'll just be sad and nervous for the whole rest of the show, and nothing will get done.
Okay.
Vandals targeted a new Mormon church in West Lynn last week. It is the most recent case in a string of incidents dating back to late last year. Sergeant Neil Hennelly of the West Lynn Police Department called it troubling. Early last week, a construction manager spotted an intimidating message spray-painted on a brick wall alongside the church's property. It's a hateful message regardless of what the motivation is, says Hennelly. It's not appropriate.
And this is...
They said.
What was the church?
It's a Mormon church.
So it's a Mormon church, not a Mormon temple, because they are, in fact, not the same thing. The Mormon church... It's interesting that somebody would target the Mormon church, because the Mormon church is actually the place where everybody, even Gentiles, can go. Whereas the Mormon temple is the sort of more exclusive, one might say, exclusionary place I would think would be a little bit more of a thorn in the side of non-Mormons.
Well, I might be wrong, but I think that people who spray paint slurs on the sides of buildings are not generally very discriminating people.
Are you saying that that's a subtle distinction that may elude them?
Yes. Right. I mean, think about all the people who think that there's going to be a mosque built at Ground Zero, and that's like an evil terrorist act. People are just stupid.
I saw the best ever quote from the mosque guy, who I'm going to call the mosque guy, not because it's necessarily accurate, because that way people will know what I'm talking about. And if I say a guy who's building the cultural center at a place seven blocks away from, nobody will know.
Right.
Just not to get off the subject right out of the gate. I don't think we have any sound on this, which is why I'm mentioning it. But he made this observation yesterday where they were talking about building the mosque in a sacred place. And he said, there's strip clubs all over here. How sacred can it be? There's a strip club right there. It's awesome. I just like a guy like that that has sort of panache, you know?
I like that.
A little style. Anyway, so it doesn't say what the anti-Mormon message is, though.
Not so far, no. Maybe I dig in a little further. A spokesperson for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said the vandalism started late last year when construction on the church began. Since then, there have been about a dozen separate incidents.
Maybe it's somebody who can't afford the plane fare to get to New York to protest the mosque, and so he's just picking out whatever religion, you know, seems to strike him.
We do have a quote from church member Linda Peterson, who said...
I'm pregnant.
No, she said...
Sorry.
I think it's sad when they put graffiti on any house of God. I think that's sad.
That's a completely Mormon quote, by the way, because it's not anything you can actually find fault with, but it's just completely without personality or character in any way. There's just no texture or feature to that. And I bet that she looks exact. This is just my opinion. Linda, whatever her name is, I've already forgotten her last name. She's so colorless. I'm willing to bet that she's pleasant looking in a way that doesn't really actually require her to be interesting or have any personality of any kind. Just my assessment. Here's Don Taylor.
The White House says a Florida church's plan to burn copies of the Quran is a monumentally terrible idea. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says the State Department was correct to issue a travel alert to Americans overseas because of the church's plans.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was I was just busy thinking how cool it would be. They must have said this in public. Gibbs, actually, there must have been in a press conference or something where he said it's a monumentally terrible idea, which is some great language from the White House.
Yeah.
I don't you wish that they would just once just get on television and just call somebody out, this guy or anybody else, just call somebody out as just being an idiot. Just go, you, sir, are a colossal boob. Here we go.
It is smart.
I'm sorry, it's very quiet. Let me see if I can augment
it. It is smart for the State Department to caution those that are traveling overseas, and we certainly will continue to take all the necessary precautions to ensure that Americans that are overseas, and as you've heard General Petraeus and General Odierno say, take the precautions that we need to protect our troops.
Oh, that's great. Sure glad my wife isn't going to be traveling to a largely largely Muslim nation. Oh, wait. Damn.
It's a church in Florida. They literally have 50 people that belong to the church.
I wonder if they're trying
to
unseat.
Dear God.
Is this like, do you suppose, like a Blur versus Oasis thing, but it's like them and the Westboro, you know, the Fred Phelps guys? Like, this is his bid to unseat Fred Phelps. But no, I've got the best idea ever. How many people are in the church? 12. Okay, well, can we build some cardboard cutouts so it looks like we have more members? Then we'll burn something. Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
Gibbs said it would help our enemies.
Let's see. This is
a recruiting bonanza for Al Qaeda. And this goes against
It's a bonanza. Everything must go.
Of our values, as the president discussed yesterday.
Okay. I like the idea that it's a recruiting...
It's a bonanza.
It's a bonanza, which is like a sort of picture I got him Crazy Larry, sort of in front with like a fez on and sort of, you know, like a monkey running around behind him, and then he's got like a clown juggling something.
Yeah, let's just create international incidents based on the craziness of our respective, like, tiny, tiny, tiny fundamentalist minorities that don't in any way actually represent the majority of the people in either culture. But let's let this color world events.
Here's the thing about it. You almost have to give it up to the Florida guy. Because that guy is gaming the system like nobody's business. I mean, I really have to say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just in terms, let me be very careful about this, in terms of just sheer, like, the PR and marketing prowess, well done, sir. Because, I mean, there's, what, 50 guys or something in the church? I mean, we keep saying that, but I don't know if that's actually true. But, I mean, there's not that many. So it's a relatively small church regardless. Also, there's like 6.5 billion people. There's 310 million people in this country. There's 6 billion people in the world. And then everybody is talking about this guy as though he is, as you said, some representative example of the church. And you almost have to give it up to him. He's sort of the Blair Witch Project of religious crazies.
It's like he looked at Al Qaeda and said, you know, they only got a few thousand guys, really. But look how scared everyone is of them because they're so crazy. You know, if I was crazy, then maybe people would pay attention to me, too, think I was dangerous.
Well, that is
and
the,
it worked.
That is the whole, that is the whole point of terrorism. I mean, the whole point of terrorism is, the principle that if one has a large enough philosophical fulcrum, one can lift a great amount of weight with almost nothing. Which is, you know, which is what Al-Qaeda did. Al-Qaeda didn't have that many people in it. Everyone just...
It's like an ideological lever.
Yes, it's exactly like that. Or a pulley, a system of or a system of tubes. But what is it? How many of the hijackers in 9/11? 19 guys or something?
Yeah.
I mean, these 19 guys wrecked the entire planet. I mean, really, you have to say that that's efficient. That's efficient, and that's using your resources to their maximum capability. I mean, that really is, you know. And so this guy's kind of doing the same thing.
And, you know, every morning now he is waking. Well, guess.
Is it happening on 9/11?
Yes.
Well, I'm not the guy. I'm not burning a Koran. Don't take it out of me, sister. I'm just asking.
He's doing it on the 10th.
Well,
because, you know, that was more convenient.
Well, it's like having your...
He had a dentist appointment on the 11th, so...
I didn't know if it was like a having your birthday on Christmas thing, where he didn't want to be overshadowed. you know, where he's like, no, I'll wait until like a week after, and then I'll just, you know. All right.
It's like Boxing Day for terrorism, for crazy fundamentalist terrorism.
So, and he's in Florida. Is it Gainesville?
I think so. Yeah.
Gainesville, which is a weird place anyway. That's where that guy was killing all those co-eds a few years ago. There was that serial killer there they never caught. So, all right. Well,
yeah. And to be a weird place in Florida, an exceptionally weird place
11th,
in Florida, is saying something because all of Florida is just.
And it's not even
nutty.
The 10th anniversary. It's only the 9th anniversary. So maybe this is just like this is his preamble. Maybe this is his overture for next year. Yeah. So and then, but I was mentioning this earlier. And you know, so 3 weeks, 3 weeks from now, so my wife then gets to travel internationally after all of this happens. So
this will all be over by then. He'll have gotten his attention, and he probably won't do it.
I'm just saying it's something else to keep my in-laws forwarding scary chain mails to me like forever that have a million sort of forwards and carrots before going on. They have like a picture of Obama morphed, so he's standing on top of a pile of dead puppies or something.
And you know what's ending soon?
No.
Ramadan.
No.
Ramadan.
Stop. Oh. No, but we're now in Rosh Hashanah. But there's no pun you can make out of Rosh Hashanah. It seems like there ought to be, but there isn't. You're listening to Legion of News. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Don't forget, you can listen to this program on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.pdx.fm, mobile.pdx.fm. Also at iTunes or at legionofnews.com or pdx.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
A new list of the best happy hour cities in the United States ranks Portland at the top.
Damn!
The list, created by GoTime.com and featured on CNBC, plays Portland number one because it has about half the number of listed happy hours as New York, but twice the density. The list, Hopworks Urban Brewery on Southeast Powell is one of the breweries featured on the website. The craft brew industry is huge out here, said Tim Becker, general manager. We've got a lot of variety, a lot of different choices, so you've got to find ways to help yourself stand out. We do ours through the quality of our products.
All right, so what is it? So Hopworks, now I don't know if you've been there or not, but that's actually just up the street from here.
Yeah.
And now,
never been there, but I've driven past.
And it's not a chain, right? It's just one place?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because when it first opened, I have to say that and I'm not really the guy to ask about this anyway. My wife would really be the person to query. But when it first opened, it looked really, it looked like one of those places that was trying to seem individual, but that was probably just owned by Anheuser-Busch. But apparently that is not the case.
They have great graphic design work. Their signage is terrific.
I saw the logo, and I'm like, that's way... And this sounds terrible, but I said that it's way too good just to be some guy. Because it looked so slick and great and cool. But that was actually before it even opened. And then they have that sign out front that actually just... Which I almost think... I mean, I hate to even say this. It almost seems like one of those things that couldn't be legal because the OLCC is so crazy about what you can advertise. But the clock outside, the sign is that it's a clock and it just says beer time. And I thought, well, there's no way that could be legal. And I don't know if it is or not, but that place is apparently fantastic. So my wife goes there quite a bit and she's a fan. So in any event. All right. Well, good for us.
We like to drink.
Drinking. All right. There you go.
Corvallis police hope a sketch of a man who grabbed a woman's buttocks last week will lead to an arrest. The woman was walking in the 700 block of Western Boulevard on Thursday when the groper walked up to her from behind. The victim stepped to the side to let the man pass, but he grabbed her buttocks and then grabbed her breast as she confronted him. Police said the victim yelled at the man, and he ran off on foot. The attacker is described as having dark skin, and he may be of Middle Eastern descent.
He hates freedom and breasts.
He's about 25 years old, 5 feet 9 inches tall, and has a slender build. Police said he has black hair with a bowl cut.
With a bowl cut.
At the time of the incident, he wore a V-neck shirt with red and blue stripes on the collar and sleeves. Oregon State University is located just a few blocks away from where the incident happened. Sophomore Bailey Philpott said she plans to be extra careful while traveling solo around campus.
I'm going to wear a metal shield over my buttocks.
I try not to walk late at night, especially if I'm walking for a long distance, she said. Because, you know, the further you walk, the more dangerous it is.
That's true, Dawn.
I definitely try to avoid walking by myself.
Don't even leave the house.
No, because remember, if you're a woman, always be afraid.
Stay inside. Have your meals slid under the door.
You know, I'd suggest you wear a burqa, except that is a sign of oppression. Instead, what we do in the United States, we just constantly reinforce that all women should be afraid of being victimized everywhere all of the time.
You're having a bit of a day 2 days in a row, aren't you?
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Sometimes I can't. Here's the other thing with you is sometimes I can't tell when you're being sarcastic and when you're not. Like your whole thing about, I'd suggest you wear a burqa, except that's oppressive, so you should stay inside. It became this like weird Escher painting where I couldn't even tell what you were serious about and what you weren't.
Welcome to the inside of my brain, Rick Emerson.
I'd like to leave now. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, we will have a taser watch, do we not?
We have a taser watch and a job watch. I didn't put them on the board yet.
That's my fault. Taser watch, job watch coming up today. Also, another installment of Pop Culture Authority. What is the actual question for today's Pop Culture Authority? I know the subject, but
That's the one thing I didn't do. I didn't actually...
It's in the cop movies when a guy is testing cocaine by dabbing his pinky in it and then putting the pinky in, touching it to his gums and going, yep, it's cocaine.
How do we boil that down into a very short, pinky question?
Can cops really test cocaine by tasting it?
Yeah, okay, that's our Pop Culture Authority.
All right, so today's Pop Culture Authority, can cops really test cocaine by tasting it? As an adjunct to that, we will also have today's top five songs about cocaine. That's plus before the show, we'll be ingesting a massive amount of cocaine. And then as our listener prize, giving away bags and bags of what, Dawn?
Cocaine?
No, chocolate chips, strangely enough. If you are a fan of this program and you find Legion of News to be entertaining and amusing, you might want to thank folks such as Michael Beatty, the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. 3211, locally owned and operated business. What he does is he will come to your home, he will come to your office, he'll come to your residence, come to your place of work, and he will actually clean whatever your feet might touch, as well as the furniture as well. So that means stone, marble, tile. That means, you know, and we talk about the living room a lot too, but you know, it's like you go to, it's like in the bathroom, you've got like a shower area, or even like a deck or a patio. Where there's anything that gets walked on or exposed to dirt or the elements or whatever.
Or if I dropped my giant bag of cocaine and it started getting ground into the carpet.
Yes.
He could help me with that.
And that's a thing that cannot happen because then there's no show.
That's true.
Then there's just a lot of electronic hiss coming out of your speakers. So pet damage, odor repair, whatever it is that you need taken care of in your home or business, he can handle that. He can also put you on a regular maintenance program, so once your carpet is clean, it stays looking clean forevermore. He is also certified by the IICRC. And just as a little tease, I'll tell you what that means, but not quite yet. So you can contact him at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211, a local business, and he's keeping his money local as well by advertising right here on Legion of News. And he's certified by the Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, Restoration, and Certification. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Traffic deaths in the United States have reached their lowest level since the government began keeping track 6 decades ago. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood announced the good news at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
In 2009, highway deaths fell to 33,808, the smallest number since 1950.
Well done, I guess.
So now that we're saying 2010, we've stopped saying 2009. We're now going to say 2009.
In 2009...
What are you, Zager and Evans? What do you care? I mean, that doesn't, even by your weird, like, crazy scale of what's important, that shouldn't matter.
I don't like revisionist language. Like, you know, we always, all of last year, we said 2009.
No, stop. He's not revising the, see, now you're being linguistically inaccurate with your complaint. He's not revising the language. He's not making words mean something they didn't mean before.
But I mean.
That is an alter, that's like saying. That if you have, like on your computer, where you have a choice between an analog clock, you know, with the hands that go around, and a digital clock, that, like, one of them is accurate and the other one isn't. 2009 is still accurate, just because he might have been saying that this whole time. It's only revisionist for you, and he's not even asking you to revise. He was probably saying that, in 2008, about 2006.
Oh, God. I'm
going to start saying it now every hour.
I don't like 2010. I think we should say 2010 because we have always said up to this point 2005, 2006, 2007.
All right, would you,
so now and then we go 2010. Okay, so I finally accepted that we're going to say 2010 instead of 2010. I have come to an acceptance of that, even though it rubs me the wrong way, but I'm okay with it. But now we're going to start saying the past years that way too.
If by we you mean one guy who you will never meet or have to interact with, then I suppose that's true. If you'd like me to find his address so you can write him a scolding letter.
Please.
And by the way, his way is more efficient because he drops a syllable. Just FYI.
LaHood says a decline in discretionary driving because of the economy apparently contributed to the drop in highway deaths.
So that's the sort of silver lining. No one can leave. No one's bothering to leave home because they have no job. So as a result, they're not smashing into each other
at
a greater rate. Well done.
Because of the economic downturn, fewer people may be going out for after work or evening entertainment, which the data suggests
they can
are
no
higher
longer,
risk trips.
They can't drink and then drive because they can't afford to drink. So therefore, they're not crashing into each other.
They can no longer afford to leave their homes for even the most moderate of amusements. Even the most modest pleasures have been denied to them. And so they simply sit there at the, you know, in the sofa, just sponging away and living a long life.
LaHood said higher seatbelt use has also played a role.
Drivers are getting safer, buckling their seatbelt at record rates. Now,
this guy is just a firecracker.
85% of people buckle their seatbelt when they get in their car.
Well, how many?
85%. Which actually does dovetail with an article I was just reading the other day about seatbelt issues. Do you know who is responsible for the installation of seatbelts in modern automobiles, Don Taylor?
No, I do not.
Robert McNamara.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. I saw that documentary about him. I should have known
that. Fog of War.
Yes.
That's right. Is that in there? I don't even know if that's. I read this somewhere else. I didn't know that was actually in that movie. Yeah, so Rob, before he sort of, in the assessment of many, botched everything in Vietnam. That's the weird thing about that guy, is it's sort of like, in the grand scheme of things, he actually, if you were to sort of do a net, like a balance sheet of it, in the grand scheme of things, Robert McNamara has probably saved, like, hundreds of thousands more lives than he cost, which is a sort of weird thing to get your head around.
And then Ralph Nader, sort of his ideological opposite, also instrumental in automobile safety
totally.
And making sure people wear seatbelts.
And that they weren't driving cars that melted.
Hmm.
Here's Don Taylor.
A new principal at Horace Mann Elementary School in Newton, Massachusetts, missed the first day of school when she had to deliver his newborn daughter in the family car.
The family car?
Did that really happen? It's almost like a dream, said Mark Nardelli. I don't want to have those kinds of dreams.
I dreamt that I was poor and didn't have any freedom for the next 18 years.
Nardelli delivered Alora Grace in the car on the highway while attempting to race to the hospital. My wife was in the front seat, and she just said, I'm ready to push, and she started pushing. I think I was on the phone at the same time for a moment, and then I remember throwing the phone as the baby's head came out and the shoulder came out, and then boom, said Mark Nardelli. Nardelli went to Horace Mann School as a child. His mom said that they were proud of him for that accomplishment, but Alora's grand entrance topped even that.
This old story grosses me out.
Did you have the baby? His mother said. Yeah, he said. I delivered it. We had it in the car.
Wow, it's just like a regular Roger's at that house.
So.
All right, there you go. I don't want to think about it, especially.
You know, he was on the phone while he was driving. That could have had had bad consequences.
Also, the thing about her, there's this in his memoir, in On Writing, Stephen King talks about the use of language and, you know, people who. He addresses a little bit about profanity and language and lexicon and dialect and whatever. And he repeatedly uses the euphemism to push, which is to excrete, perhaps in the bathroom. And so that's immediately what I think of now. And he's the only person I've ever heard say that, which I guess maybe it's like a New England thing. So now.
Well, he's also sort of. Stephen King himself is sort of obsessed with bodily functions anyway.
Yeah, but I guess that's what he was taught to say when he was growing up, is like you were supposed to say that you had to push. And so that's the, like, so, but now whenever I hear that phrase, which is not like all that often, it's basically just in that book, that's what I picture. Is I picture the woman in the back of the car, and then the baby, and then the phone, and it's all horrible.
And some of that could have been going on too, honestly, because the whole
about it.
Childbirth thing is disgusting and horrifying. It's a miracle. It's a beautiful miracle.
Okay.
Speaking of beautiful miracles, let's do our science news.
Here's Don Taylor with your science news. Science marching through Legion of News right here.
Most Americans still don't eat enough vegetables, and fruit consumption is actually dropping, according to a new government report released today. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that last year about one-third of U.S. adults had two or more servings of fruit or fruit juice a day. That's down slightly from more than 34% in 2000. Only about 26% ate vegetables three or more times a day, the same as in 2000. The statistics come from a national telephone survey of hundreds of thousands of Americans. No state met federal goals of three-quarters of Americans eating enough fruit and half eating enough vegetables. California ate the most fruit, and Tennessee was best with the vegetables. Oklahoma was at the bottom for fruit consumption, and South Dakota had the lowest vegetable consumption. The report did not ask people which fruits and vegetables they ate the most, but a CDC study published last year concluded that orange juice was at the top of fruit consumption among U.S. adults and adolescents. Orange juice, by the way, which nutritionally is really just like drinking a great big glass of sugar, but they're counting that as fruit consumption.
Well, if orange... If oranges count as being healthy, why doesn't orange juice count as being healthy?
Well, you're not getting... First of all, you're not getting the fiber. You're not getting the pulp. You're getting a higher concentration of calories for the amount of what you're consuming. If you eat an orange, think about... Basically, the amount of juice and the amount of sugar in an orange is less than in a glass of orange juice. Well, and plus, you're getting fiber.
Well, but that's only because it's a portion thing. That's not because it's inherently worse for you. It's because you're just getting more of it.
And also,
it's just like you're having a lot of oranges.
And some fruits are better for you than others. And oranges, while they do have vitamin C and some nutrients and stuff, there are fruits that you can eat, like blueberries, that are actually much better for you and have a lower glycemic load.
Yeah, but then you got to go find a guy who has a blueberry bramble and then, distract him with something.
By the way, and rather hilariously, guess what the favorite vegetable is?
Is it romaine lettuce? No, is it iceberg lettuce?
No.
Is it ketchup?
You're getting closer.
Because ketchup is a vegetable, according to the FDA.
No. Potatoes.
Potato chips.
No, just potatoes. Potatoes are...
I feel like there's a punchline here that we never got to.
No, the punchline is that potatoes are, yes, technically a root vegetable, but nutritionally they're a starch. So as far as, like, you know, it's kind of hilarious that it's like if you're looking at basically nutrition and people eating fresh fruits and vegetables, the most popular vegetable, potatoes. And
is this what it sounds like when I start correcting people about, like, the different eras of Kiss and what the makeup looked like from one record to another?
Possibly.
Okay. No. In the Dynasty era, Kiss was wearing a lot of more colorful costumes as opposed to the Love Gun era. Well, at least it's not celery. I think we can all agree on that. Celery, which is basically just akin to eating pieces of cardboard, I think.
I think, you know, if we do have a problem in this country with overweight.
Are you saying we have a problem with health in this country?
I'm just saying that if we are to actually embrace the notion that people getting bigger and getting heavier is a health issue. But even if it's not, people are getting bigger. People are getting fatter. And, of course, people are getting fatter when their favorite vegetable is potatoes. You know, Google has unveiled a revolutionary new way to trawl the web by giving people an...
Just let me back up for a second. I don't want to make it seem as though I don't care about the starch or potato issue. It's just, that's one of those things, like the question of whether eggs are good for you, on which I can't weigh in because no one seems to know. And there is no...
Eggs are good for you.
But that's what they say now. But like 10 years ago, it was like, no, eggs, only the whites, don't have the yolk. See, but you shake your head, but it's like, but if only you were on my phone as an application. So I go, what does Dawn say?
That's because we went through this period where there was a conflation of cholesterol in food with serum cholesterol in your blood, which has been proven to not be true. The amount of actual cholesterol you eat in your food has little to nothing to do with your blood cholesterol.
Hey, let me ask you this.
But there's a lot of cholesterol in egg yolks, and so there was this belief for a while that eggs led to higher serum cholesterol.
Let me ask you this question. Why are eggs considered dairy?
I think because they come from a farm. I think that's the only reason.
All right, so does steak.
Yeah. Nutritionally, they're a protein source. They're actually like eating meat.
Right.
Yeah, so,
but,
you know.
But I guess my question is why, but that doesn't make any sense then. Why are they called a dairy product?
I think it's a traditional thing that just has always happened because it came from the same place that the milk and the cheese came from. It came from a farm. So therefore, we called them dairy products.
Despite my claim that I don't care about this, this is one of those things where now we're into like our ninth minute of discussing it. I will say this. I was fascinated as a kid when I learned that it actually took more calorie. It took more energy to eat and process celery than it gave you. It actually was one of those. It was like some weird perpetual motion machine of foods, where you could just eat a celery all day, and it was and you would just lose weight while doing so because it actually took more energy to like cycle it through. I'm sorry, we were moving to Google, right?
We were.
Science on the mark.
There we go. All right.
Google has launched a revolutionary new way to trawl the web by giving people an instant preview of what they're looking for. The search giant launched Google Instant last night, which reveals the results right on the homepage as you type.
Also, the search field has gotten wider, which is one of those things. It's like it's a change that doesn't really matter, but I was Googling something last night, and it sort of threw me off, actually. I kept looking at the screen going, something seems different. I don't know. I'm unsettled by this page. And it's just that the search field is like 50% wider than it used to be. And that appears to be the only demonstrable change. And I guess that's because people are tired of having to do that thing where you highlight it with the cursor and then you have to... And you scroll backward, like left with the mouse, because you can't remember the phrase you typed in or something.
Anyway, yes. Because we are all so very, very, very busy, and we demand instant gratification in every aspect of our lives, this new Google Instant has been created, which will save searchers 2 to 5 seconds for every query.
Fantastic.
Google's Vice President of Search Products, Marissa Meyer, says the results just stream to you based on predictions of what you have already typed.
We think this ultimately results in a much higher quality experience, but there's even a psychic element of it in that we can actually predict what you're likely to type and bring you those results in real time.
And by psychic, she means terrifying, potentially embarrassing. So I've used it, and here's... not that Google isn't great at what they do and whatever, but and not that they're not going to end up running everything, because they clearly are. I was talking to, we have an engineering friend of ours who was here doing a little work at one point, and he was talking about, he and I were discussing the fact that Google is buying up all of this so-called dark fiber, because they're putting all of these massive, like, standalone computing centers in large cities across America. And the whole theory is that they're eventually just going to turn on their own separate internet, which I'm not making up, by the way. That's like a thing that I read, and I asked Matt. He's like, they're just going to be like a Google net. They're just going to turn on someday. And then they'll just charge you access to it. And it'll be faster and better than the existing internet. And so I'm all for that. What was I saying? Oh, so Google is great. But here's what this service is, basically. They've just taken that thing where, like, when you would start typing in some query, and it would give you the drop-down menu of what they thought your search was eventually going to be. Mm-hmm. It just puts that as, like, opaque text in the search box itself.
Oh, okay.
And as you keep typing, you know what I'm talking about? You type it and it would show you like the 10 things they thought you were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, as you're typing, it gives you in grayed out text the first result. As you keep typing, it goes to the second and the third and the fourth. So as you're typing, it just gives you whatever its first guess would have been in that pull down menu. It's not quite as revolutionary as they're making it sound.
Okay. Well, Mir says, as you just pointed out, it will bring up results before you are finished typing.
Results just stream to you based on the predictions that are most likely given what you've typed so far.
All right.
What was her name? The woman I was quoting for.
Marissa Meyer.
Oh, actually, it just says, it says, in the other, I have two pieces of paper in front of me, two different sources. One just says, Google said, because apparently Google's
Instant
just a person.
Actually gets queries and gets your search results as you type and brings them to you and streams those results right to your computer. So the search is entirely interactive the whole time you're typing.
I love Google. I think she's really overselling this, because she said the same thing three different ways and there's been no actual information. She's sort of like the celery of the Google press announcement world right now, because there's no actual calories in this of any kind. I just want to know if there's anybody on Earth who as a default uses the I feel lucky button. That's really what I want to know.
I don't think I've ever used that.
No one ever has.
Because I don't understand the point.
No, no one has.
Well, according to Google, if every Google searcher used it...
Wait, is this another soundbite?
No.
Okay.
This is from... I had two different stories.
Okay.
I had already...
You're merging the two.
I had pulled this story, as did you, so
Got
I have two
it.
Different
okay.
Versions. Google said that if every Google searcher used it, it would save more than 11 hours per second... which I'm assuming would create some kind of a black hole of time.
It's interesting,
and destroy the universe as we know it.
It's interesting that they phrase it that way, because that is a that's a Steve Jobs technique. When Steve Jobs was when they were working on the Macintosh, the original Macintosh in 84, one of his motivational techniques, there was this guy whose name was Andy Hertzfeld, I think, who was on the original Mac team, and he tells this story about Steve Jobs coming by and doing that weird Zen master thing that he does where he like makes your vision go all wobbly and then you know. but he would
and the ladies take their blouses off and
exactly. He would come by like Mandrake and just say, look, how's it going with the boot up time? It seems like it takes 14 seconds to boot up. And this Hertzfeld guy would be like, I know, Steve, I haven't slept in like 3 weeks. And you said I could see my family one of these days. When do I get to go home? And he's like, well, when the Mac boots up in 10 seconds. And he's like, Steve, it'll never boot up in 10 seconds. We've shaved everything off. I'm so tired and hungry. Steve, can I leave now? And Jobs would do this thing of saying, look, if there's 10 million Mac users and they are booting up their computer once a day and you are saving them 2 seconds a day, you have saved the equivalent of 5,000 lives a year, Andy. And then he would just stare at them. And he would just stare at them. And this Hertzfeld guy said that he would eventually just go, okay, I'm sorry I didn't think of it that way. I'll go back to work. And that was Jobs' whole thing, is that you are saving lives by making the Mac boot up faster. So, I mean, I guess a good motivational technique is good in any era. Here is Don Taylor.
That is all our science news.
Fantastic. There you go. Science on the march right here on Legion of News. Don't forget, speaking of Mac and things of that nature, you can get this program via iTunes later on today as part of a podcast or in your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also download it directly as an archive from pdx.fm or legionofnews.com. At 1 o'clock today, the Rick Emerson program will be broadcasting via rickemerson.com. That also has a mobile stream as well, mobile.rickemerson.com. So you can listen to that if you're a subscriber, mobile.rickemerson.com, so you can take it with you wherever you take it with you wherever you go. So it's not unlike bells on your toes.
What if they don't subscribe though?
If they don't subscribe to my ideas or my theories in general, or if they actually literally don't subscribe.
What if they don't subscribe to the Rick Emerson Show?
Well, personally, Don, I can't even fathom such a thing. But if there was some hell world in which a person did not subscribe to the Rick Emerson Show, if they were one of these folks, for example, who is immune from the danger of traffic accidents because they've been fired by their employer, and so they just sit at home drowning their sorrows in Yukon Jack in Pringles.
If only there was a way they could try it completely free of charge.
You're talking about maybe listening for a period of time, maybe like a month, let's say.
Yeah.
Maybe like just a good long 30-day period so they can really assess the greatness of the Rick Emerson program.
Yeah, or just, you know, give it a try. And then even at that point, if they say, well, this really wasn't for me, they haven't lost anything.
No.
But you know, it gives them a chance. They've been thinking, wow, what else do these people do? That would be awesome. Ah, $7 a month.
Not only have they not lost anything, they've gained experience and knowledge, whether or not they like the product. Fortunately, Don, New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance, one of our proud business partners, New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance.
Not manscaping, because that's something completely different.
Well, it's entirely possible, because they said they do a nuisance abatement solutions for your neighborhood or home. So it's possible that in a sort of figurative sense, one of the nuisances might be that you have a bushy abundance of hair that you find thwarts your daily activities or your romantic pursuits.
And they just pull out the weed eater and help you with that.
That's right. Anyway. We've just gone so far into a thicket here, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Thicket of hair.
This is exactly what it was like to be on stage with the Sands in 63. So New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance, they are providing the Emerson Grant. And the Emerson Grant is a program wherein we provide 10 one-month subscriptions to the Rick Emerson radio program each and every month. Now, if you're already a subscriber to the Rick Emerson show, you're not eligible, but somebody you know might be, so you can do it on their behalf. You or somebody you know could win a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson radio program. All you do is this. You leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964, explaining why you or somebody you know needs a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. That is 503-505-6964. Leave a voicemail no more than 2 minutes in length. And of those, we, in our sole and profound and impeccable and flawless discretion, will pick 10 folks who receive a one-month subscription. You can find out more at rickemerson.com.
You know what else you could do? I was just thinking about this morning. You know, if you want, you could leave the voicemail. You could also drop me an email at don@rickemerson.com. Send me a haiku. I love haiku. Send me a haiku of why you should get a free subscription.
Or maybe just something that's spray painted in a sort of latexy caramel coating.
Yeah, or a JPEG of a funny cat picture.
Okay,
I don't want that. But the haiku would be. I love haiku.
One step too far.
I want a haiku about why you should get a 1 month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show.
All right.
That is dawn@rickemerson.com.
Fantastic. Are we done? Wait, is the site? No, wait. Science is no longer marching.
No, right. That's way
okay,
over.
It's gone marching home. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Someone does ask, can't we just sit on Southeast Powell and wait for Rick to walk by? And I guess they would.
To what end?
I don't know.
To mug me for a subscription? Hand it over!
That would be the equivalent of, you know, watching a show. Listening to a show, I guess, would just be seeing. Yeah, they would just stop you and make you talk to them.
I mean, I guess if the elbow Art Alexakis out of the way,
probably.
Say something
funny.
Yeah.
Something funny to me.
Here's 32 cents, funny man. Amuse me.
More than 20 people have been arrested during violent protests in Los Angeles against the LAPD. Over the officer-involved shooting death of a knife-wielding Guatemalan man on Sunday. Chief Charlie Beck promised angry residents of a heavily immigrant community that there will be a thorough investigation.
We will review this shooting to make sure that it was done appropriately. If it was not, there will be consequences for the involved officer.
I know that he means that the circumstances leading up to the shooting warranted such a response.
Yeah.
It's just sort of funny the way he phrases it.
That was kind of unfortunate.
Sort of to make sure that the guy twirled the gun and then went and blew over the end of the barrel when he was done and jammed it back in and then looked at the camera and did like a little JT Lancer finger pistol.
After the guy fell down, he just said, sorry.
Yeah.
Some residents, like Reverend Anna Strongwolf, booed the violent protesters that have turned out in the streets every night since the shooting.
Before retreating to the keep at Minas Tirith.
She booed the protesters.
If you stand up and speak peacefully without getting out there and being violent, you can be heard better. Like getting up tonight and speaking for the community.
You're done talking now.
Yeah, because that has a history of working.
People,
particularly in LAPD, against the LAPD, just politely saying that you'd rather they didn't shoot unarmed people. Really goes a long way with them.
Here's the thing. Maybe that's what she was talking about. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Because my brain, that's one of those things. You know what my brain is? My brain is not unlike the goggles that Stringfellow Hawk wore when he piloted Airwolf, Don. When there was a bright flash of light, his goggles would immediately slam down a protective coating over his eye so that he and Dominic were not blinded.
Mm.
That's exactly. So as soon as she began to speak,
just like that, is it?
It's like a particular tone of voice, and my ears just went nope, and just slammed shut.
So there you go.
Here's Don Taylor.
I need the happy music song for
all right. What
happy
manner
music song,
of
happy music for this story? It's about an animal. It's an animal story.
Right. Okay, no, I got that. I got just the thing for that. Hold on a second here.
The Prague Zoo said Thursday that one of its fearless honey badgers is on the run. Zoo spokeswoman Jana Pitsinka Giratova said the female honey badger named Kaka, K-A-C-A, escaped earlier this week when she probably climbed over a fence around 6 feet high. Pavel Brendel, in charge of mammals at the Prague Zoo, said the honey badger is considered the most fearless animal in the world. He said the small furry creature, which weighs about 17 pounds and loves honey, is unlikely to survive in the wild. Pashinka Giratova said the zoo has received a number of tips from Prague citizens about the badger's whereabouts, but so far the search has been fruitless. Prague Zoo is one of the few in the world where six honey badgers have born in captivity. The 10-year-old, who joined her partner, Surt, in Prague 9 years ago, is the mother to all of them.
Wait a minute. So it's the most fearsome animal in the world, but it's unlikely to survive. Is that because it was born at the zoo?
Yeah, I don't believe that, though. I believe that a badger in an urban environment is going to survive just fine.
Oh, yeah. No, the badger, there's going to be... it likes honey, and it will soon discover it likes children as well.
And domestic cats.
Yeah. You know, badgers do the creepiest thing. You know, they have that weird trick they do where they emit the smell of death. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So badgers, maybe not all of them, so I don't know if Pumpkin or whatever her name is.
Kaka.
Kaka?
Yeah, or Kasa. K-A-C-A is how it's pronounced.
Well, whatever. I don't know if this is the case with this particular badger, but for example, if a badger is being pursued by hounds or wild dogs of any kind, they will actually, rather than running away or fighting, they will roll over on their back and they will, quote, this is from an article I read. They will emit the smell of death.
Wow.
And then the dogs are all like, hey, free meal. The badger quit moving. And then they go on in, and then the next thing you know, and then it's like out come the claws.
So I used to have a roommate who could emit the smell of death.
Could or did all the time? All was it a thing that had an off switch?
Yeah. I had to have my chair cleaned when he moved out.
This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Let's do the entertainment news.
Ah, fantastic. Here's your entertainment news for Thursday.
A woman has lodged a complaint alleging Motley Crue singer Vince Neil grabbed her arms in an elevator in the Las Vegas Hilton. Neil, 49, wasn't arrested after police took statements Sunday from the woman and two other people regarding the misdemeanor battery complaint. The investigation remained open. Neil's lawyer, David Chesnoff, was unavailable for immediate comment. There was no indication Neil knew the woman, and she didn't report being physically injured. Neil owns tattoo shops and bars in Las Vegas, including a cantina at the Hilton. He's due in court September 27th on separate misdemeanor drunken driving and speeding charges. He has not yet entered a plea. He's accused in those cases of driving his Lamborghini 60 miles per hour in a 45-mile zone before being stopped June 27th near the Las Vegas Strip. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.08%, which is the state's legal limit.
Hey, here's a question. Is the blood alcohol level the same, the legal cutoff, is it the same in every state?
I don't think so, no.
So you could be, that's a weird thing where you could actually be driving your car and you could be legally driving in one state, and then if you cross a border, you are suddenly committing like a felony.
Yes. And if you have a woman in the car that you intend to have sex with.
You're violating the Mann Act,
yes.
Don. Yes. Then you go to prison next to Chuck Berry. All right. I was going to say something about Vince Neil. That doesn't really matter. He's weird and pockmarked.
Yeah. It's funny because he has... There's a mugshot, and he just looks exactly like Vince Neil. You know, some people, famous people, you see their mugshots and go, wow, he looks terrible because he's all drunk and messed up. And that's a picture of Vince Neil.
I guess I'll just say real briefly, I won't identify this person. But I will say that... I don't even know that I could... I don't even know that I can say it without even being vague, because it wouldn't be too hard to suss out. I'll put it this way: mm-hmm. Did you know that there is a lens for high quality cameras? There is a lens photographers use that is colloquially known in the trade as the FU lens.
Okay,
and that is for use with certain celebrities. Let's say, theoretically, Vince Neil, who demand that photographers stand way, way, way back at the soundboard because he doesn't want to be photographed close up.
Oh, yeah.
And so then, if that is the case, if, let's say, normally photographers are allowed near the lip of the stage, near the front, you know, in that little area in front of by the security guards, for the first couple songs to get shots of the band, let's say, theoretically, somebody, we'll call him Vince Neil, said, you know, I want everybody to stand back at the soundboard because I'm hideous and I look like I'm wrapped in a sausage casing. Then in theory, hypothetically, said photographer would say, well, that's fine, I'll just get the FU lens. And then somebody like me would say, what's the FU lens? And go, oh, it's a thing we use when rock stars want you to stand 100 yards away because they think that we can't get them like we're a foot away from them. The lens does, in fact, get them as though you were directly... In fact, makes them, I think, probably look worse than they might have looked before. Sort of as a pithy kind of a twist right at the end. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Any TV addict who has seen MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen, or Kitchen Nightmares knows Gordon Ramsay can be intimidating and nurturing.
What's Kitchen Nightmares? I don't even think I've heard of that.
Kitchen Nightmares is the one where he goes to restaurants at their behest because their restaurant isn't doing very well.
Oh, I see, to tell them what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, right. And he helps them, but often he helps
by
them
screaming at
by
them?
Telling them, you're idiots!
Yeah, by making them cry.
However, the shows are completely different from each other, and with MasterChef, we see Ramsay going a bit easier on the contestants. Ramsay talks here about MasterChef.
I think what we have to do is understand the differentiation rate in terms of Kitchen Nightmares is something that is, in our minds, throwing the last lifeline in a way that we help give the olive branch and trying to turn these places around. Hell's Kitchen is professional chefs. This is something that's completely different in terms of it's a amateur, keen foodie that wants to step into the world of food on a bigger platform, and there's no service connected. We have high pressurized moments with the wedding, for instance, mm-hmm. and very fortunate enough to go off and cook for the guys and the girls at Camp Pendleton for the last tour before they went back to Afghanistan. So we put them in those kind of situations, and it's not running a service or handling a service of the restaurant.
So you, I mean, you said that you are. You said the weirdest thing this morning when I said you like Gordon Ramsay, don't you? As I was preparing the, you know, the news and the sound bites, and you said yes, no, I don't know, and then you started typing again.
I enjoy Kitchen Nightmares because for most of that show, I particularly liked the early episodes when it was still on British TV. Because while as he's really tough, he was basically brutally honest with these people about what they needed to do to turn their businesses
right.
around. And sometimes they deserved him being kind of harsh on them. And, you know, Hell's Kitchen, on the other hand, is one of those shows where he ramps up his abusiveness. They seem to deliberately cast it is professional chefs who are brought in. They operate in teams. It's women against men, which is preposterous. But they bring these chefs in, and I believe they actually like deliberately cast people who are somewhat incompetent.
Just so to give him a target, so
right.
he can just sort of.
Yeah. And then he just screams at people and yells at them and tries to make them cry. I don't find that entertaining. I don't want to watch that. Plus the fact I used to work in restaurant kitchens. I've had enough, you know, I've heard enough screaming chefs to last me for the rest of my life. Don't want to hear it. Don't,
nope.
Not interested. MasterChef is the new show, and it's and I've watched like two episodes of it, and I found it just kind of boring. But he is somewhat nicer to people on this because they are amateurs. They're just home chefs and people who enjoy cooking who are trying to compete in a kind of a Top Chef
so, like,
kind of a thing.
So, what's your take? Yeah, I was going to say, what's your take on that versus Top Chef, just in terms of, like, the quality of the show?
I like Top Chef a lot, and it's because they actually cast people on that show who are very, very good at what they do. And so you have people competing on a level of competence, you know, which is the same reason I like, you know, Project Runway. You have people who are actually very good at what they do. So that makes it a lot more interesting to see what they go through and what their challenges are. And when they make mistakes, you know, it's on a completely different level than somebody just doing something really stupid and a guy screaming at them.
The guy, you're a fool!
Yeah.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at BDX.FM. Don't forget the Rick Emerson show is coming up at 1 o'clock. Today we have a Taser Watch coming up, a Job Watch coming up. We will have another installment of Pop Culture Authority. Today we answer the question, can cops really test for cocaine by tasting it? We'll also have the top five, which is the top five songs about cocaine, sort of a related thing there. We'll talk about, it's not from last night, I guess. Today's Thursday, Wednesday, it's from Tuesday. So we'll talk just a bit about Sons of Anarchy on Tuesday, which I know you don't watch. So it's just, you know, but
now they just started season three, so it's like I would have to just kill myself catching up.
It's already so good. You don't even know. Let me take a moment to talk about Castalia Language Center, a small private school in downtown Portland that offers Spanish language classes for adults. It was just like that weird, you just did this weird snuffleupagus sound there where you went, oh, bird, you know, just kind of what are you like, and you hit your hands on the table and sort of a, oh, so much television to watch.
I think, honest to God, I swear this is a noise I think I make. I think I got that from my dog. It's the noise my dog...
You shouldn't tell people.
It's the noise my dog makes when she's... Because my dog is a pit bull shepherd mix. And whenever she's just annoyed with us because we won't let her do something, she does. She makes this noise where she just walks away from us, goes...
It's like when you've denied her kibble.
Yes. Don't bark at the squirrels.
In any event, Castalia Language Center brings you these... ruminations about dogs and other things. They are a small private school in downtown Portland. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. And when we say that they offer Spanish language classes for adults, it's just because adults and kids learn differently. If you are an adult, if you are out of school, you know, really once you're past the age of like 10 or 11, you just start learning languages in a different way. I mean, you can't do it. A lot of adults think that, you know, once they pass, you know, what the church would call the age of majority, that you are not able to learn another language easily at all. It's not the case. It's just you just learn it differently. You don't learn it the same way that you would learn it if you were five. So this is why Castalia actually focuses on adult classes, and they limit it to 8 students as well. Because if it's in there with 50 people, it's easy for you to just kind of fall into the background, and you know, and you don't really ever get a chance to say like, "Hey, there's something that makes sense." So it's a relaxed, comfortable environment, adults only, and it's a maximum of 8 people to a class. So you really got to find out more about it right now at portlandspanish.com. portlandspanish.com. For you to that, they are Castalia Language Center, a proud sponsor right here at Legion of News at PDX.FM.
You know how many students they have per class?
Is it 8?
Ocho.
Thank you. That was a little alley-oop we just did right there.
I have messages from the text box from the same guy, by the way. I wanted to give you the 1-2 punch of the two things he just said, one right after the other. First,
all right.
Best ever tuna sandwich with chips placed on the inside. And he followed that with, Rick, I'm planning my Thanksgiving. If you're working, I don't have to go with my girlfriend.
Awesome. Let's back up to the first thing for a second. What is he why is he mentioning the tuna sandwich with chips on the inside?
Not sure.
Is he I wonder if that's where he was trying to respond to somebody else in some other chat box or something, and it sort of ended up here. Not that I disagree, sir. I really don't.
Didn't you say that you've said that you put chips inside your sandwich, haven't you?
Yeah, I said that like last month.
Well, apparently he just got around to trying it, I guess.
This is one of those things where he forgets that as he's listening to the show, it doesn't necessarily mean that it just came out of our mouths.
No, he just says it was a random thought.
Okay,
so
well, no,
it just
I agree.
Occurred to him.
No, Rick Emerson agrees. And in fact, if there are no chips around, I will actually search for any chip-type substance to put on my food, like pretzels. It's all about the crunch, really. No, I'm a big fan of that.
And apparently if we work on Thanksgiving...
He doesn't have to go anywhere with his
he
girlfriend.
He doesn't have to go anywhere.
Well, there you go. That makes the decision. Okay, we'll be here.
Okay. There you go.
Who says the Rick? You know, who says that the Rick Emerson and Don Taylor don't go the extra mile, to please the people? We do.
We're going to have to do something special though, because I'll probably be having to duck out on my family stuff as well. So we'll have to bring in some kind of special food items and guests
is
and such.
I have actually sort of just primed my family for many, many years now not to expect that I will show up or be present in any way, physically, emotionally, at all. really, that they can expect nothing from me. So that groundwork is already laid for me. It's so little work. I mean, it's not even a speed bump at this point. Well, we'll cook something. We'll find... What would you say your Thanksgiving specialty is?
I do a mean turkey.
Really?
I do. Yeah, I do a great turkey, by the way. I've finessed the turkey over the years. For a while, I was doing the high heat method where I would cook it at like 500 degrees. And then recently, the last couple of years, I've been doing the butterfly turkey where you actually flatten the entire turkey. You cut through the breast, the sternum,
and then you sort of
open flatten it out, and then everything cooks evenly and you don't ever get the dried out breast thing.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm very good with the turkey.
All right. That's I think I know what we're doing. Legion of News, brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.fm and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. And just FYI, today we're going to try to turn over a new leaf today. We're going to try to start before, like, 15 after. So we're going to...
Yes.
We're going to begin endeavoring to begin within just a few minutes of the end of this program.
And,
so.
And why is that? Because our friends at Fun Employment Radio are having a super special guest
into
the studio, Greg Proops of Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's going to be right here, actually here in this building.
Probably
right
sitting
here.
In your chair.
Probably sitting in my chair.
Try not to stain it or anything in advance.
I'll try not to make it all, well, never mind.
The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This, however, has been another exciting installment of...
Legion of News! On PDX.fm.